Jesus' name. Amen. A man is holding on to a rope. He's holding on tenaciously with both hands, with all his might. The reason he's holding on with all his might is that he knows if he turns loose of the rope, he will fall to his death. It's dark. And every now and then he has to try to change his position in his hands because he feels himself sliding down toward the end of the rope. He doesn't know how long the rope is, but he's holding on. The rope has finally come to a standstill as he has been swung out. He's been swung out over a cliff, he's been told. He's been robbed by some robbers, and the robbers tell him, because he was a new person to this area, traveling on horseback, after robbing him, they said, hold on to this rope. They gave him his body a push, and they said, if you let loose, you'll fall to your death. And so he holds on. He holds on. The morning light begins to appear, and he frantically is looking and searching and trying to see what's going to happen. And then he sees the ground this far from his feet. He had been holding on all night long, told so by the robbers, which gave them time to get away. The enemy told him a lie. And he held on, and had he just let loose, he would have fallen 4 inches. Not to his death, but to his safety. And your pastor the last 2 Sundays has told you that we have to turn loose of a lot of things if we're going to find our freedom in the Lord. And we mentioned a lot of things that were good things, but things that can take precedence over Jesus. We mentioned job. We mentioned security. We mentioned a husband, a wife. We mentioned our property. We mentioned money. We mentioned our home. We mentioned and all these good things, even the church building itself. These are all good things. But Jesus says, I want you to turn loose of these things so that you can receive from me. And then prophetically, the Lord spoke to us Wednesday night, telling us that we must turn loose by snipping ourselves. We must snip that which is holding us down so that we can soar, so we can fly. Both analogies are the same. Something that we must do. We must take the initiative and let loose. And people, if we let loose, we're not going to fall to our death, as the enemy says. Instead, we're going to soar to heights in the name of Jesus. We can do this. And even when we're going through the valley that we live in fact, I have noticed that we may be living geographically in the Salinas Valley, but I tell you, according to Psalm 84, if you turn, you can follow with me, Psalm 84, verse 5, 6, 7, and 8, we are living in the Valley of Baca. So they may say, where do you live? And we may say, we're living in Baca. Baca what? Well, Baca Salinas Valley, if you want to. The Valley of Baca. The Lord gave me this scripture last week. It's so good. It just fits right in with the sermons that we've heard and fits in with what we're going to be doing Wednesday night and in the days ahead. Psalm 84, verse 5, 6, 7, and 8. It says, how happy are those whose strength comes from you, who are eager to make the pilgrimage to Mount Zion. As they pass through the dry valley of Baca, it becomes a spring, a place of springs. The early rains fills it with pools, and they grow stronger as they go. They will see the God of gods on Zion. Or King James says, blessed is the man whose strength is in you, in whose heart are the ways of them. That's verse 5. Verse 6, who passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well, and the rains also fill the pools. Verse 7, they go from strength to strength, every one of them in Zion appearing before God. The Valley of Baca. Some of you have a footnote in your Bible. Some of you have a notation to turn to another page where Baca is spelled out, meaning the Valley of Weeping. People, we have been weeping personally. We have been weeping collectively as families. We have been weeping as a church body for a long time. We have been living in the Valley of Baca. And the word Baca, B-A-C-A, means the Valley of Weeping, making a well of tears. The NIV says the Valley of Weeping. The NEB says a very thirsty valley. The Valley of Baca, also translated in some places as a mulberry tree, which is the very same word, Baca. So I'm suggesting to you that these scriptures in Psalm 84, verse 5, 6, 7, and 8, will help us get through not a geographic place necessarily, but a spiritual place going through the Valley of Baca. Now I want you to turn to Judges chapter 2, verse 1, if you will. Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, chapter 2, verse 1. The angel of the Lord is appearing to Joshua. He says, among other things, I took you out of Egypt and I brought you to the land that I promised to your ancestors. I said, I will never break my covenant with you. Judges 2:2. But on the other hand, you must not make any covenant with the people who live in this land. You must tear down their altars. But you have not done what I told you. You have done just the opposite. So I tell you now that I will not drive these people out as you advance. They will be your enemies, and you will be trapped by the worship of their gods. And when the angel had said this, all the people of Israel began to cry, and that is why the place is called Baca, where they offered sacrifices to the Lord. The Lord had told his people to come out from among them all and be separate. But the people weren't doing this. And so when they were told that the people are going to be snares and traps to you, then they started crying and they said, this is horrible. Until they called the place the Valley of Baca. The balsam tree is a weeping tree. And that is why the balsam tree in the Word of God is translated with this, Baca. This is why in Judges the word is, I wanted you people to be separate, but you would not be separate. And so today God is asking us as His children to be separate. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 15 spells it out to us, people. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 15. And we've been working on scriptures like this for a long time, especially in the area of sanctification and becoming holy. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 15. He abolished the Jewish law with its commandments and rules in order to create out of the two races one new people in union with himself, in this way making peace. And he's called him a new man or a new people. He's wanting a new man. God is just wanting a new man. And the way he gets a new man is Ephesians chapter 4, verse 23 and verse 24. This is the new man that he's wanting, the new church that he's wanting. Your hearts and minds must be made completely new. It is so simple. God is asking that our hearts and minds be made new for the new thing. Because you can't put the new in the old. You can't do the new thing that God has for the community church in the old building. Do you see what I'm saying? So we've got to get out of the old to get to the new. So your hearts and minds must be made new. And you must put on the new self, which is created in God's likeness and reveals itself in the true life, which is upright and holy. We're talking about being sanctified, being a holy person. So it is the new nature. It's that which comes over us. And it manifests itself in righteousness and true holiness. And God is saying He wants His holy people. So with this in mind, I want you to look back at the Valley of Baca, what we've gone through, where we are, and where we're going to go. In verse 5, he says very clearly that in Psalm 84, verse 5. Blessed is the man whose strength is in you, in whose hearts are the ways of them. Strength is what I need. Strength is what you need in our pilgrimage. As we think about the church, also, if you will, think about your own private life and your family as well. So he is saying we are going to have some strength in our pilgrimage. In the past number of years, our church has gone through a wasteland. Unmistakable. Nobody would deny this. The church has gone through a wasteland. But we have gone through the wasteland, and it has been made possible because of the grace and love of our group, one for another. If it wasn't for you on the outside and God on the inside, I could not have gotten through these years. And you could attest that it's because of God on the inside and the body that we've gotten through what we've gotten through, the wasteland. And we are learning that to be the blessed pilgrims of the Lord, we've got to practice His presence, which was made a phrase made earlier this hour. Practicing His presence in the wasteland will give us strength in the pilgrimage. And this allows the Lord to transform our lives. If we practice His presence, it allows the Lord to transform the ministry of this church into an oasis of life-giving refreshment, as we read in the next verse. A place of springs for a weary and for a parched king city. But sad to say, many pilgrims sojourn without truly knowing the Lord's presence and His strength. And instead of strength to strength, quickly goes to a depleted shell of ministry. Feeble and stagnant. And even with spiritual gifts, we can't rest in these spiritual gifts because they even can be pitfalls. But praise the Lord, God is purifying the community church. He's calling us into holiness, the past three sermons. And as we go into holiness, we cannot be happy with the status quo, the way things are. But we have gotten strength in the pilgrimage. And it's been a long, hard road to hoe. But praise God, this verse 6, who passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well. We have had wells of refreshment in this church these past few years, and the rains have filled the pools. And the scripture says, and this probably was written by Jehoshaphat the king, those who weep and seek God's will be refreshed by the rain and the pools of spiritual water. Men who pray and men who weep before God will go from strength to strength. Women who weep before God and pray before God will go from strength to strength. You young people, the same thing. We who pray and weep before God will go from strength to strength. This is what Isaiah was saying in Isaiah 44, verse 3. Isaiah 44, verse 3. We're saying that we who pray and weep before God will go from strength to strength. And so Isaiah says in chapter 44, 3, I will give water to the thirsty land. I will make streams flow on the dry ground. I will pour out my power on your children and my blessings on your descendants. Those who weep before the Lord are going to have their strength. And then the very next to the last book in the Old Testament, Zechariah, right before Malachi, Zechariah says in chapter 10, verse 1, beautiful thing here, ask the Lord for rain in the spring of the year. It is the Lord who sends rain clouds and showers, making the fields green for everyone. So we ask the Lord for the rain that will fill up the pools that have become stagnant. Jehovah is a fountain, people, and we are going through the valley of Baca. And some of you are going through a great valley of Baca. Not just the church, but personally you are. But there is no misery so great, but a godly heart will make out of it a well from which to draw forth waters of comfort. There is no thing that can happen, no trouble that can come to us, people, but that if we have a godly heart, we can make that situation a situation out of which to draw the waters. Either water to cleanse and make it a way to repentance, water to cleanse to make it a way of repentance, or water to cool and make it a way to patience, or water to moist and make it a way to grow in grace. So the Valley of Baca is a pretty bad situation. It's a valley of weeping that we've been in. But we as pilgrims must get our mind off of the wasteland and put it on the Jerusalem to which we go. And that's why the pilgrims, while they were dying of thirst, could not be worried about their thirst or the lack of water or the supply that they had when they had the abundance in view. And in view they could see all the water that they needed to nourish them. And so the Israelites were going up to the Passover, and they made light of deficient water because their hearts were set on reaching Jerusalem. And as we go through the wasteland in these months ahead, our hearts are set on the new Jerusalem. And so the lack of what we have now is not going to be a deterrent. The Valley of Baca will give itself to springs of water. And then in verse 7, Psalm 84:7, it says, they will go from strength to strength, every one of them in Zion, from strength to strength, passing through the terrible wilderness. And God is showing us that the tools of our ministry, these are the spiritual gifts, are a very natural manifestation for God to bless us in this Valley of Baca that's going to become springs of water. His supernatural presence is here, people, and I think maybe we may flip it off sometimes and not take serious when the supernatural gifts start manifesting themselves through body members. In other words, bottom line, despising the gifts. But God is showing us that the tools of our ministry are going to be, and as indeed are, the spiritual gifts that we've got. And our identity is in Jesus Christ. So we are a company of people who are going from strength that we've gotten in the Valley of Baca to the strength that's going to go through the next 3 months into what which God's going to give us in January and in March and April or whenever God gives, whatever He gives. Our identity is in Jesus Christ. And so we go from strength to strength. And somebody says, well, God has given some prophetic utterances to this church and they haven't even come true. Last week I read of a church that God said, you will lay hands upon people who have AIDS and they will get well. This is what He told a small group of people. He told these people this a number of years ago. And while people who have had AIDS have come to that church and they've been prayed for and many have been partially healed and blessed, and certainly the inner healing has taken place, the pastor writes that we're not seeing the ultimate fulfillment, but that does not deter us from believing what God said was going to be. God has said this congregation is going to be a congregation where we will lay hands upon the sick and they will get well, where people who cannot walk will come into our church, wherever it is, and wherever we are meeting, into our church, the body of believers, and they will go away. Now, God said that. Now remember what we said at the very beginning. We read the word in Acts chapter 13, verse 41. If you are doubting now as a scoffer, it says, look, you scoffers, be astonished and die. For what I am going to do today is something that you will not believe even when somebody explains it to you. So I'm just comparing our small group to this other small church that believes what God said. And while ultimately it is not being fulfilled, it doesn't deter them from believing. We are trusting in God because we know He has brought us through these past days. I mean, He has brought us through the past. And through our strength that we've gotten from him in our pilgrimage, we've gone to the valley of Baca, to the springs of water, and we've done it strength to strength. So we set our hearts on a transition. The pilgrimage has now been diverted from the corner of Vanderhurst and Bassett Street. It's been diverted. We're still in the valley of Baca, but it is becoming the springs of water for us. And we're going to have that increased in victorious power. And we will see God's glory. And we'll go from strength to strength. I could stand here and tell you personal problems that I have gone through this past number of years. You could tell me yours. And the bottom line is that God has brought us through. He has given us strength from this moment to strength where we are, or strength where we're going. And he has given us this strength because of his glory. And he's putting his glory upon his disciples. You know, I'm afraid that we don't all understand what it means to be a disciple. If you are a Christian, you are a disciple. What do disciples do? They lay hands upon the sick and the sick get well. They go out and tell about Jesus. They proclaim the good news. This is what disciples do. Now, we are disciples. And the Lord is saying, if you will listen, you will hear that which will make you move. Well, God has been asking us to move much in the past, but nobody hears. And God is yelling, but we're not hearing because we don't want to hear what he has to say. It means move out in faith. It means making a fool of yourself, maybe. It means doing something you've never done before. It means following Jesus. Now, I mentioned that that Baca meant mulberry tree. I want you to turn, if you will, to 2 Samuel chapter 5, verse 23 and 24. How God is saying you can go from strength to strength. The valley of Baca, Baca meaning a weeping place, will be turned to a fountain. Baca also means mulberry tree, which is a tree that will do a lot of weeping. And the trickling down of the trunk of the gum or the moisture that's on it. Now that you found 2 Samuel chapter 5, look at verse 23 and verse 24. Once more, David consulted the Lord, who answered, "Don't attack them from here." I mean, just take all this. The enemy talking, which is Satan. Now we got God talking. We talk about attacking here. Let's just use the building, for example. "Don't attack them from here, but go around and get ready to attack them from the other side, near the Bakum, or the balsam trees, or the mulberry trees. And when you hear the sound of marching in the treetops, then attack, because I will be marching ahead of you to defeat the Philistine army." David did what the Lord had commanded and was able to drive the Philistines back from Geba all the way to Gezer. Do you see this beautiful parallel here? David was told by the Lord to go behind the enemy. But don't advance, don't attack until you hear, let me put in parenthetically, the sound of the rushing mighty wind in the mulberry trees. And when you get this feel, and when you see it move, and when you feel the wind going through the mulberry trees, then you can do something because you'll have power, and the power has come from me. And these enemies of David were so alarmed by this, it struck terror, because the going forth of God's presence in the mulberry trees was like the sound of a mighty army on the march. And the enemy knew that David's men was over in this position, so evidently reinforcements had come from another direction, and it couldn't possibly be David's men. Yet David was there. And David realized that terror was being struck in the hearts of the Philistines. They became confused. They became panic-stricken. The Arabic version says that the sound was the noise of horses' hoofs. Having known all the time that David's army was before them, perhaps they reasoned that another mighty army was appearing suddenly behind to help David's army. They fled and were pursued. Now that phrase, rushing mighty wind, has anybody picked up on that in the New Testament? Where Jesus told the disciples to go and wait, and at the appointed time, when there was a mighty rushing wind of the Holy Ghost, then they were to move out endued with the power. And people, the time has come now for us to listen for the mighty, the moving of the Spirit of God spiritually, so that we can move out of this place and into a new place with power from God to be able to do what disciples are supposed to do. Because, sad to say, our church has not been doing what disciples are supposed to be doing. Maybe we've gotten bogged down in the valley of Baca. Now concluding, let's go back to Psalm 84. We find three words with these three scriptures. The first scripture says, "Blessed is the man whose strength is in you, in whose hearts are the ways of them." And this is what we are going through in our church. This is progression. Go. Go. People of God cannot remain stationary. We must not recede. We must be always advancing. So the word is progression. They go from strength in the Lord. Then the second verse, "Who pass through the valley of Baca, make it a well, and the rains also fill the pools." This is the invigorating. This is the invigoration that comes from the Holy Spirit of God. We are people related to one another with a duty, one duty to another. And we go from a duty, from a task, or from a grace, or from a degree, one to another. This is not progression here. It's the invigorating process that allows us to move forward as a church. And then the completion in verse 7. They go from strength to strength, every one of them in Zion appearing before God. Every single one of them appearing before God. So this is how it looks to me, people. The man was told by the enemy, "Don't you dare let go or you will fall to your death." When in fact, had he let go, he would have gone to his life. And so the enemy may be telling some of you people in our church, or some who are not here today, "You can't let go of the building. You'll die if you let go of the building." The enemy says this. We say just the contrary. We let loose so that we can fall into the hands of God as to what He's got planned for us. And it is a new thing. And getting to the new thing, we are getting through the very edge right now of the valley of Baca, meaning weeping. And we're going to make it. Strength to strength. Affirm that by standing, would you please? Father, for the scoffer, the word was, "You're just going to be astonished and you're going to die." That's from the Word of God. Father, we're not going to be scoffers and die, but we're going to receive what you are doing today. And we're not talking about tomorrow or in the days ahead. We're talking about this day. Today, God said, "I'm doing something that you'll not believe, even if somebody explained it to you." Father, we want to be right where you want us to be to receive from you this very moment. So we stand in your presence. We stand in your presence, Father. And we glory in your presence. For the presence is that which gives us the strength. The presence gives us the victory. The presence gives us the rain. The presence gives us the moisture, helps us to grow. Lord, we stay in your presence. and for all of your people who are standing right now, Lord, in your presence. All of the needs, and the needs are great. While the pastor would say it, so each person must individually say it. Lord, you are the source of our strength, and we need help, and we ask you to help us. And we have enough faith to turn loose of whatever the rope is right now. We have enough faith, and if we don't, we would say as the disciples, Lord, increase our faith to turn loose so that we could fall into the hands of God. And it will be to life. It'll be not to death. It is death to hang on. It is life to turn loose and let God. Father, we bless you this day. We bless you.